Well, I hope y'all are just as excited as I am to be out here tonight. It's another opportunity to get to praise God. I think we ought to all take every opportunity we have to praise God. Something that is very special amongst us is we travel amongst the Primitive Baptists and we get to meet people we haven't met before. I hope I get to know all of you before the weekend, before we are able to or have to leave tomorrow. But I thank y'all for having us here this evening. Something that has been on my mind and that has been on my mind for a couple of weeks, and something that's really struck me in my youth, is talking just strictly about what the purpose of the gospel and what it does for us. I see all the young men here on the front row, and I'm going to speak to them. And of course, this is good for the young ladies as well. But I want y'all to really grasp this idea of what I'm going to talk about the gospel tonight, because if you can really grasp it at an early age, and you can make it mean something to you, it'll probably benefit you a whole lot. And for the rest of y'all that are more older than I am in years, not old, but just older than me, this will be just as good for y'all, and maybe you can implement this today as well. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Something I really want us to always focus on is that we need to remember our Creator. And I know it says, remember thy Creator in the days of our youth. If you were not so dedicated in your youthful years, it doesn't hurt to start now, because today you are as young as you'll ever be. So every day, we ought to, is another opportunity to praise God. And we ought to really think about it. When I was younger, I used to remember being like, I look at these young men on the front row, it's killing me. Being young, feeling like I was invincible. Nothing could attack me, nothing could harm me, nothing would alter my thinking, nothing, you know, mom and dad were protecting me, nothing could harm me. I was invincible. Then another year passed, and another year passed, I got older. I was exposed to the wonderful world of college. And for those who have been through college, you were exposed to lots of different types of thinking, lots of different teachings, and you have to really be strong. You have to know, and that's why I think it is so important to know God really on a personal level, to where it means something to you. If for a while tonight, I'm just going to talk a little bit about the gospel. And I look at these young men. I remember being young and thinking about superheroes. We, amongst our young guys, we always love to talk about the Marvel superheroes. And I think about the Hulk and all these superheroes who had all this great power. And how it just would be so awesome to have that power. And how it would, if for some way I could obtain it, I could just, nothing could hurt me. Well, this gospel is described as great power. Over in Ephesians chapter 6, it says in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." I've spoken on the whole armor of God, and I've spoken on it many different times in many different ways. But the one thing that I can never get out of my mind is that one little word called whole. It means incompleteness. It means you can't put on just a certain piece or two of the armor. You need to have the whole thing on, because you need to be able to stand in the evil day. I want the most protection that I can have when I'm going up against the wiles of the devil, because he's wily. Maybe some of the younger kids may not remember. If you're older, I know that some of the older people in the congregation will remember old Wile E. Coyote. I still watch Looney Tunes, and I'm 24 years old, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. But I still watch Wile E. Coyote, and just because he's just so divided, you know, he just would try to find out any little way he could to get that little roadrunner. And he was wily. He was creative and tried every single way. And that's what the devil's going to do to us each and every day. He's going to pick at us. He's going to find your weakness. He is going to find my weakness. He's going to find all of our weaknesses and try to use them against us to keep us from doing what? Praising God. That's all he wants to do. He knows he's lost the battle already. He just wants to remove all the praise from God that he can while he's here. And it's our duty. It is our duty as Christians, as born again, regenerated children of God, to support, to lift up, to praise our Heavenly Father as much as we can. One of the things that will help us to do that is there's one piece of the armor that I want to go ahead and continue reading. But there's one specific piece that I want to look at. But it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." There's a purpose. I love the language that the Apostle Paul uses here in Ephesians, because that's what we have to do. We have to do everything that we can to stand. Having done all to stand. And here, one of the best things that we can use is in verse 15. It says, "And you're having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now, for the longest time in my younger days, I looked at the Bible and I was like, "Oh, it's a good moral code. It's something that, you know, it's got some good things in there that I really that are good." But like many of us, we let our flesh get in the way, and we've looked at it and we said, "My way's better. You know, I don't need all that stuff." But as I got older, I began to retrain my thinking. Over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, it says that we need to have the mind of Christ. "Let this mind be in you also." We need to learn how to think like the Bible thinks. We need to have it on our minds so much and so often that when any trouble, any trial comes our way, we're looking for Scripture. We're looking for that comfort. And something that I've really gathered, in recent years, is I've looked at this Bible in a completely different way. It is a record left for us of what our Heavenly Father has done for us, and other many accounts that are of the Apostle Paul's letters to the churches, and of the history of the Jews in the Old Testament. But when I pick up this Bible, I now feel like I'm just talking with God. I feel like God's talking to me personally. I feel like it means something to me today. And it says, "Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel." Why your feet? Well, your feet carry you from place to place. And as you're walking, the Bible says over in Psalms 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path." This Bible, this word, God's word left here for us will guide us where we need to be in this world. The Bible says that "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We have to seek him and let our path in this world honor him each and every day. If we are not preparing ourselves, having your feet, having every place that you go, you ought to carry this word with you. Young men, define your lives on this Bible. Ladies, seek out young men who set this Bible and God is the first in their lives. The reason I speak on these things is because there was a time in my life where I didn't always do this. Yes, I was a pastor's son. Yes, I grew up in a wonderful church. And I had everything that I feel like a good godly man, a good support group behind him. But I found out even I could fail. Even I can be tempted. Even I would go through trials and troubles. And to me, it is very important to have your feet shod with the preparation. How do you prepare yourself? Well, guess what? Got to read it. I am the world's worst. My father will tell you I'm the world's worst at reading. I did not read a whole lot when I was growing up. I liked TV too much. If they would put the Bible on the it probably still wouldn't be as good. But, you know, I learned also that I enjoy listening to people read the Bible to me. I learned I could quote scriptures a little bit better that way. Whatever works for you, figure out what's in his word. The Apostle Paul spoke of it this way. Over in Romans chapter 1, He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I think that's something that we really have to first get out of our mind as a young person who's going through troubles and trials, who's going through the popularity idea of what the world would try to teach you. The world's going to try to change your thinking. It's going to try to teach you that success and money and popularity are the things that you need in life. I'm here to tell you, as a personal witness to these things, just put them all behind you. Don't even go down that path. There's one saying I guess my dad taught me growing up. And I used to always tell him, well, Dad, experience is the best teacher. And he looked at me, no, son, no. Experience can be the most effective teacher. But you know what? Not all experiences are good. I guess my desire would be that if every child of God would really put their focus in life, would be to experience the gospel. Make it mean something to you. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I guess the first part of that verse, it says, For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he has rewarded them to diligently seek him. We have to believe that he is. Are we so scared to think that God cannot help us? Here in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If you believe in his word, I spoke about power a few moments ago about those superheroes. If you want power, I got power for you right here. It's in my hand. If you want power, you take it in your hand each and every day. You read it. You use it. When people come and they try you, they trouble you, they try to put you down for standing up. We are living in a world today where Christians are being persecuted. We are. We see it all over the news. It's a shameful thing. It's a shameful thing to go out and pray publicly. Oh, what's that guy doing over there? You know, they go over, they try to sue him. They try to put it out of the schools. They don't want it at ball games. They don't want it at any part of their life. They're trying to put it down. I'll tell you, first you got to know, you got to come as the Apostle Paul did here. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. One, because it's power to me, because I believe in a Savior. You got to take it. Take it wherever you go in life. That way, when troubles and trials come, you know how to stand against the devil. He won't knock you down so easy. Maybe when someone dies, maybe when you're sick. Maybe you'll remember those verses that say that we don't sorrow as those that have no hope. We've got a hope in a Savior. We got a hope in one who is stronger than the strong man. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I hope you know, without me going in through a long spill this afternoon or tonight, that I don't believe that is talking about that it is. I don't believe in gospel regeneration. That is talking about a time salvation. This Bible is good for me each and every day. You can turn over to Corinthians and we can talk a little bit more about this gospel. And it says, start in verse 17. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. The Apostle Paul didn't come to the Corinthians with a bunch of wisdom of words. He didn't come to them with speaking in terms that you can't understand. He didn't come here to put on a show for the gospel. I believe after being struck down on the road to Damascus, I think if I would have personally had that experience, I think it would have gotten my attention well enough to know that this is not something to be mocked. The gospel is not something to be mocked. It's not something to be made fun of. It's not something to put aside and be like, eh. Because we do that a lot. Each and every day, we kind of disregard what this Bible is teaching us. Maybe sometimes because we don't believe in it as much as we should. Maybe because we are partially ashamed. Maybe we're scared. Scared that somebody might make fun of us. You know what? I'm not scared to be made fun of, because we have a fight and a warfare each and every day. It's not going away. It says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish, it's foolishness. You ever wonder why those people are making fun of it? It's because it does nothing for them. Over in chapter 2, verse 40, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They don't get it. Those who were spiritually discerned, those who were the non-elect, they don't understand what you were experiencing. They don't understand why we gather on a Friday night to come here to sing songs and to worship one to another. I can't tell you how many times now. I'm not going to go as far as to say that they're maybe non-elect, because I do know that they attend church and they do seem to have a sincere love of the Lord. But I get questioned all the time about why we gather here together on Friday, sometimes during the week, middle of the week, Wednesday nights and stuff. I mean, why we go into people's, we open up our doors and let people and church folks into our homes? They just don't understand. It's not a shock to me anymore. The Bible talks over in Revelation about him that overcometh, to him will I give to eat of the hidden manna. I believe we get to experience just a little bit of that hidden manna. That bread that we get to eat of the Lord's table while we are here. Because those people do not understand why it is such a benefit to us. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, it's foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'm really honing in on this power thing, because I really don't feel like we can almost grasp how truthful his word really is. Do you really believe scriptures that say, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you? Sometimes we wait to the last moment to pray for something. We let troubles and trials come our way, and we try to handle them ourselves. We do everything that we think, that we as man, we try to handle our problems with our solutions. We try to walk along life's pathway with going off on this pathway or the other path. But it does nothing for us. You can go over there, and it says over in, keep your face, your place there. Not your face, but your place. Keep your finger there in Corinthians. But over in Matthew chapter 7, one of the most common scriptures that I think is widely spoken out of the Bible, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate, verse 13, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Experience the gospel. Be those few people that actually live their entire lives following God, being disciples of him, depending on him, walking day by day beside him, leaning on him, talking with him, praying with him, making him the center of your life. It's not foolishness to us. It's power to us. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise and where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Yes, he has. The wisdom of this world, he has made it foolishness to those who believe in his word. Because you're not so easy, you don't dive so easily. You're not so easily moved, you see. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Some of the times, I think of myself, I was not a good reader, so I don't do as well about reading the Bible maybe in my younger days. So I wasn't so avid about reading my Bible. But when you come here and you get to hear the preaching of the gospel, it is here to help you. It's here to comfort you. And that's why when we are here and we're being attentive, I think that's probably one of the biggest desires, I think, of gospel ministers, is that his congregations are being attentive to him. They're agreeing. They're nodding. I see a lot of faces, and I have your eye contact. I see your nods. I see your agreement. And that is a lot of comfort to the gospel minister. But you know what's not a lot of comfort to the gospel minister? Is after, if he gets done here preaching and you walk out those doors and you don't remember it. That's not comforting. You turn over to if you turn over there to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, how does the gospel save you? Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I have preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. If what? If you keep it in memory. It's only helpful if we keep it in our memory. If we keep it on our hearts day by day, it means something to us that we're putting it into practice. Preached unto you unless ye have believed in vain. I think once I got to an age, I mean, I don't really know when the light bulb goes off. I don't know for some of the young men or maybe for each and one of the individuals that are here tonight. I don't know at that point in your life where all of a sudden that light bulb just went off. And you're like, hey, that makes sense. I can remember a time when that actually happened to me. And I started really digging in and started really paying attention to the gospel ministers that stood before me. And I started really paying attention to his word. And I really started implementing it here and there as I walked throughout my life and my journey. And now, again, I think it means so much different when over there and it says that we're running. I know I've talked about a path over there in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. You can go over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Another commonly mentioned. We have a race that we're running. And the whole time, we're to be looking to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. He has to be our focal point. I've mentioned this before, speaking about how good this gospel is. The gospel does not teach us that we need to be backpedaling all of our lives. We are not to be looking, what does it say? No man hath put his hand to the plow and looking backward is fit for the kingdom of heaven. When you enter into God's service, you need to be looking forward to Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. You need to be looking to him because only he can help you. You can't be looking back on what you've done in the past. If that would be my case, if all I did was look about all the troubles that I gave my parents all them years, all the whippings I deserved, if all I did was dwell on my sinful nature and my depravity, I would never press into the kingdom like I need to. That is my desire especially for the young people here tonight. Get it while you're young. Remember the Creator. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth while the evil days come out. Because guess what? I'm looking at a young brother came up to me tonight and said that Brother Adam, the church that we attend out at Poplar Springs one Sunday, two Sundays a month, he's their nephew. And I think about Brother and Sister Omer. They're 92 and 89 years old. And, you know, I'm watching them and they're just, it's hard to get around. They're struggling. There might come a time in your life where you can't worship God the way you want to. These bodies are going to break down. These bodies are going to fail. And you know what's sad is I don't know when that day is going to happen. It could be later tonight. It could be tomorrow. It could be 30, 40 years from now. I don't pray for an accident on the way home tomorrow, but I mean, I'm just saying those are possibilities that are out there. Remember him now while the evil days come not. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. I could spend a while on this. You can go over to Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, and where the Pharisees are there demanding, Master, show us a sign. You can go over and read about the Greeks, about Paul's journey to Athens in Acts chapter 17, where they were sitting around talking about the newest and greatest thing, and they're looking for the wisdom of the world. We don't worry about that today. We have a record, and all we are doing today is we're looking for our author and finisher. We're waiting on the second coming. of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we are looking for today. Maybe it'll come in my lifetime. If not, maybe my children's. I pray it comes in my lifetime. I'd love to go. Love to go tomorrow if I was given the opportunity. But we don't have that. We have a Savior who came and He finished the work. And then He left a record for us. I just don't think He left it intending for us not to use it. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, and the Greeks, but we preach Christ crucified, and the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Some of the things that I've tried to pray for over my youth is courage, strength, and wisdom. I don't want the wisdom of this world. I don't want the courage that this world tries to give you, because they try to lift you up with pride. And I don't want the strength of this world either, because guess what? This world's going to pass away. I got a Father, a Heavenly Father, who's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. And guess what? He's not dead. He's alive. I want His strength. I want to pray for the strength that He can give me. I want to pray for the courage. The kind of courage it takes a man to lay down his life for his friends. To go to a cross. Him having done nothing wrong, but put all of our burden, all of our sins on Him. And I want only the wisdom that His Word can teach me. Because I truly believe in His power. It just took me 24 years to find it. The verse I'd like to close with is, if you truly believe these things, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I encourage you all, believe without a shadow of a doubt in your Savior. Believe that He can help you, and one, believe that He's coming back to get you. Don't ever lose focus of that hope. Turn to the wrong place. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I could talk for days about setting your affection on Him, putting your whole heart to Him. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. If for a while, in the days to come, if while these things are really fresh on your mind, if you could dedicate yourself to really diving deep into His Word, and I hope it would continue, not just for a day or not just for an hour after the service, I'm sure you're eager to get there. But I really want you to take heart and take experience what the gospel can teach you. It took me a long time to realize that everything that's out there in the world isn't worth experiencing. All the things that whether it was college friends or whether it's my boss that I have today, you know what? Life is all about adjusting to a new situation. You know, I used to think, well, if I could just get out of college, the situation would be different. Yep, it's different, all right. I've got a boss who likes me to work on weekends and do other things. Sometimes he's nice, sometimes he's not. This gospel can teach you how to handle every situation that comes your way. Set your affection on Him. Look to Him. Hope in Him. He'll carry you places you've never been before. And may the Lord bless you, is my prayer.